Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacy Toth of PaleoParents.com and author of two paleo cookbooks. The first, Eat Like Dinosaur, kid-friendly gluten-free recipe and guidebook, and Beyond Bacon, recipes that respect the whole hog.
And I'm Sarah Ballantyne, also known as the Paleo Mom. I have a background in medical research, and I love to write approachable explanations of the whys behind the paleo diet. I'm also the author of two upcoming books, The Paleo Approach, which is a complete guide to managing autoimmune disease using diet and lifestyle, and the companion guide, The Paleo Approach Cookbook.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip. Oh my gosh, I'm so horrified by what we're going to talk about later on in the podcast.
I just realized that Rob Wolf posted an updated rebuttal and I haven't read it yet.
I just don't pay attention to new stuff that's stupid.
Well, so the reason why it caught my attention because I literally had like four dozen people ask me on either my Facebook wall or comment on my blog or comment within various conversations on my Facebook wall about it, with like, what do you think of this? And then links to like the original story, then where it was picked up in like Huffington Post, where it was picked up on CNN, where it was like, and it was just like, it just kept building. I was like, boy, maybe I should actually have a look at this thing and see what all of the fuss is about. And I read it, I was like, oh, that's the fuss.
So maybe you should tell people what we're talking about if you're going to like go into that much detail.
Right. We are talking about the U.S. News World and Report Best Diets of 2014 study. This is a recurring article that they publish every January. They evaluate all the most popular diets and they rank them according to a criteria that we can talk about. And paleo diet came in last in 2014. Turns out it came in last before.
Well, so my favorite parts about that, because like when you told me, you know, do you want to discuss this on the show? I was like, all right, well, you're going to have to send me the link because I literally don't pay attention. For me, I read the information that's like scientifically based and helpful and useful and supports my beliefs and what I have witnessed and, you know, seen as being successful myself. And so for someone to like rank diets and base it on ridiculous criteria and then put paleo last, and the quote that it says is something like, the paleo diet would be a great option if it weren't so difficult. I mean, that's literally what it says.
Yeah. Like,
I'm pretty sure that is not an actual criteria for deciding whether or not is something.
Well, not only that, they're not saying that there's some study that has objectively defined paleo as difficult to follow. They basically looked at it and went, well, I don't want to do it. And that was the entire evaluation of a paleo diet being too difficult to follow. Like it's not that you can objectively measure compliance with a diet. You can design studies to do that, but that hasn't been done. And maybe that would be a great thing for somebody to do at some point, is measure compliance with a paleo diet. I think the growth of this movement is probably evidence to the contrary. Just thinking. But so I sent that to you, and I sent you, and we can link in the show notes. Both Lauren Cordain has written a rebuttal, and Rob Wolf has actually, as I mentioned, he's now just updated his rebuttal to go from 8 references to like 30. you know, I kind of feel like most of what you and I will probably have to say in terms of, you know, the claims of the nutritional value, or the claims that it's not well-studied, or the claims that it's you know, hasn't been proven to be effective for weight loss or diabetes management. And Rob Wolf and Professor Cordaine really, really covered those and were like, didn't you see this study? Because these things, you know, granted, they're not, you know, huge, enormous, you know, 20,000 people strong studies, but these, you know, studies have been published in peer-reviewed journals that have put people on paleo diets and compared it against Mediterranean diets or compared it against diabetes diets and actually shown that paleo, you know, is a winner on like every score, whether it's weight loss or reducing cardiovascular risk factors or managing diabetes. So, you know, I think that we can sort of link to their rebuttals.
I just find it highly ironic and pretty much lost all interest or credibility in the article I was reading when the diet ranked number one and I clicked on more information, had a picture of spaghetti and then said it was great for managing diabetes. And I was just like, okay, I don't need to read anymore. I got it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I liked the, you know, when you look at the, like the short form, like just the quick summary, was where vegetarianism and veganism both were ranked higher than a paleo diet. Now
Sarah,
I don't believe this.
Everything was ranked higher than
right.
a paleo diet.
Everything that has the name diet in it.
Including Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers, which...
And Slim Fast.
It's like you are telling people that chemicals, completely unsustainable, will cost you money, is not a whole food source, will not give you everything that you need to be nutritionally complete. That is a better choice than this other thing that we know to be good, but we think you can't do. Like, I just, whatever. I literally...
You're boggled.
If you want to have more discussion on it, there's really no input I can add because, to me... It's like a waste of time. And I know people are interested in like, give me your take. And I think they're particularly interested in your take because you do a lot of scientific research and usually have really well thought out rebuttals. But I think pointing people to the rebuttals that have scientifically based.
What Rob and Professor Cordaine have done is do exactly what I would have done if I'd had the time to do a thorough rebuttal, which is to point out that the scientific studies that, you know, prove that their evaluation is biased, really. And, you know, I think that there's a discussion that we could have, not based on, you know, what it means that it's ranked 32. I mean, what it means is that there's some people on the fence out there who've been thinking about paleo diet and maybe they see that and decide that they're going to try something else first. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's more, I think the discussion when people ask me, what do I think about it? I mean, I think they're wrong. Clearly I'm biased because I've had tremendous success with a paleo diet. I have found it easy to follow for 2.5 years. I've reversed over a dozen immune and autoimmune related health conditions. I've lost weight. I've maintained my weight loss. You know, clearly I am the anecdotal evidence to the contrary of their summary.
Interesting that there would be another person also in that same boat.
Right. Co-hosting this very podcast. Between the two of us, we are clearly 100% of something.
We're 100% proving that last rating wrong. I'll tell you that.
Totally.
Tell me the percentage of people who have lost and maintained both weight loss and gained health from SlimFast and Jenny Craig. You give me those stats and I'll do some sort of nominal poll on the Facebook page and give you some crazy redonkulous stats from the opposite on paleo. Like it just, it, anyway, the criteria was clearly based on like the FDA recommendations and how it meets those recommendations because the, you know, the rankings were like, it's very similar. Doesn't eliminate food groups. Lets you eat everything. Easy to do. I'm like, well, this sounds life changing. It sounds like you're really going to have a great shot at completely changing your health through nutrition by maintaining the same standard that you've been doing. That's not, good job. Thumbs up. Good luck with that.
Well, I think, to me, there's been plenty of criticisms of a paleo diet that misrepresent it before. In fact, we've talked about that before on this podcast. That's kind of not a new thing. I think that people who aren't whose interest is something different than the, you know, pure evaluation of optimal diet for health are not going to necessarily learn enough about a paleo diet to be able to discuss it. Because I think there's a lot of nuances to a paleo diet that, that people who are on the outside, you know, don't recognize that those nuances are there and aren't particularly interested in understanding them. They're nuances that we talk about on this show a lot because there's so much room for individual experimentation. I mean, these are nuances like, you know, how much starchy vegetables you eat, what, you know, your macronutrient ratio is, whether or not you include dairy, whether or not you include some of the other potentially problematic foods for some people, like the foods that are eliminated on the autoimmune protocol, like nightshades or nuts or eggs. And so there's so many ways that you can implement a paleo diet. And I think that really confounds this type of evaluation because they're looking for a prescription. And the diets that the paleo diet's being compared against are all highly measured prescriptions. So that makes it really, really difficult for you to say, well, the paleo diet, you know, doesn't have this because, you know, it's not, it's really difficult for them to make an evaluation of exactly what the, say, micronutrient content is or how the macronutrient ratios are going to fall for a particular individual because that's something that we all get to play with our own health within the paleo framework. So, so I think that what happens is that you end up giving these like soundbite definitions. I actually felt that this particular report gave a soundbite definition that was mostly accurate. You know, they sort of said it includes animal products and plants, and it was sort of meat, fish, vegetables, fruit. I don't think they listed nuts and seeds, and I don't think they listed eggs, but, you know, pretty, you know, straightforward list. And they didn't say, you know, what's, you get that sort of common misrepresentation of a paleo diet that it's only lean meats or that it's no starchy vegetables or some of the other ones where it's starchy vegetables and no fruit, you know, where you're sort of only representing these either very old ideas within the paleo community that have evolved in the last 5 years as more information has been, you know, there's been more studies, there's been sort of more discussion within the community, there's been more evaluation of older studies. And I think that I was kind of happy to see that there wasn't that sort of stereotypical misrepresentation of a paleo diet. But I think what it does is it sort of, it gives it fad diet label because it's listed with 31 perhaps other fad diets. Well, I mean,
but the Mediterranean diet isn't a fad diet.
True. That's true. And I guess, you know, you wouldn't call veganism or vegetarianism a fad diet either. But it's listed with like, it's listed, actually, you know what it is it's listed with a lot of diets where the only goal is weight loss.
I don't know. I just think it's redonkulous. Like some of the stuff that they were saying, like one thing in particular that I read, I can't remember which diet it was. It might've been DASH. It might've been, you know, one of the other top ones. But one of the questions is, you know, does it help with, oh, it was the anti-inflammatory diet by Dr. Weil, I think. And so I was kind of interested in that, like, well, that's kind of what the paleo diet is. If we had coined it the anti-inflammation diet, I wonder if it would be more popular. Or if we had coined it the nutrient-dense diet, I wonder if it would be more popular. So, because instead of being, you know, caveman diet, I met a bunch of people this weekend at a book signing. I was up front at Whole Foods. And they have this big paleo display. So a lot of like random people stop by and they're like, oh, the paleo diet, that's that meat diet. No, one of my favorite hashtags is more vegetables than a vegetarian. And let me tell you about how I was a vegetarian for 7 years. Anyway, so, I think my point was that, so there's this like anti-inflammatory diet or whatever, and I'm reading through, one of the questions is, will it help with heart disease? And the answer was like, while there's no scientific evidence that inflammation is a cause of heart disease or leads to, heart disease, blah, 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 blah. And again, I was like, okay, well, I'm just not even going to finish reading whatever it is that you have to say, because that is wrong.
That was a false statement.
You know
entirely.
What I mean? Like, I'm just, yeah. It's like, if you're just going to publish completely, unfounded, biased, wrong information, how can I possibly give any credibility to the article? So, like, my rebuttal would be, I don't pay attention or spend time to things that are clearly not worth my time and attention. And I just felt like that article, when I saw it the very first time and I saw, kind of the direction that it was going and it was in people's Facebook feeds, I never clicked on the link because I could tell that it was just one of those, like, site grubbing kind of, let me do this thing and get everybody's attention without any sort of valid information. And then when I went there today in order to educate myself before we discussed it, I was like, oh, I was completely right on that assumption. Got it. Okay. So
did we help put people's fears at rest?
I don't know. I mean, if people are here and they're listening to this, they're good to go.
Yeah, I really don't see any of their criticisms of the paleo diet as being valid. So that's kind of my rebuttal right there. I don't think any of their arguments were sound. And I think that Rob Wolf and Professor Cordain did a great job of pointing them to scientific literature that proves otherwise.
Okay, so... What else?
We were supposed to have a guest today. We don't have a guest today.
Yeah, I know. But that guest is going to come back in a couple weeks.
Yes.
That'll be good.
So that was my way of sort of letting people know that we're going to have another philosophies show, which is kind of our, last minute guest reschedule. Let's do a philosophy show.
So before we do that, maybe we should talk about how we've been. I would really like to keep the show at an hour. I'm just going to tell everybody, I'm going to put it out there so that you know that the show is not going to be super long. I would like to finish watching a movie with my husband because we have spent literally zero time together over the last week as I traveled everywhere which way to Sunday. I don't know why I booked myself that way. During a particularly unexpectedly busy week at work. And then on top of that, launching the ebook last week. I'm kind of exhausted, although I'm doing fantastic. Like, I don't want it to come across as like exhausted in a bad way. I'm just, have been having an awesome time. The feedback on the ebook has been great. It's just a lot of work to keep up with that we kind of didn't expect. Our estimations of sales were significantly smaller than what they had to make, which is, wonderful, but also kind of, my team member that's supporting the book, Courtney, needs a break. She really deserves and needs a break. So, I told her, I was like, just don't even look at anything today. And then, so I traveled to Virginia Beach for a book signing this weekend as well, and that went really well. It was at a Whole Foods, which kind of surprised people. I happened to know one of the managers there, and she's really awesome, and so they like did this whole paleo display and put me up front, and I got to talk to a lot of people. I got to meet a lot of fans and stuff, and that was great. So, let's see what else.
I saw you flipping a giant tire.
Yeah. So, but before I flipped the giant tire, I went out and got hammered because I started this thing called a Whole Life Challenge, which is different than a Whole 30. It's being run through the CrossFit box. And what I really like about it, actually, I'd never heard about it before the box did it. is that it's not about perfection. It's about striving towards your goals each day and, like, reporting whether or not you do them based on a point system that you self-report. And then, like, at the end of the challenge, you go against your body measurements, like inches of your waist and your hips that you put in to begin with, and you go against what your original, like, WOD was. So we did, like, this baseline WOD, and in 8 weeks we'll do it again, and hopefully you see yourself improve.
So was getting hammered part of the Whole Life Challenge?
Yeah, so the Whole Life Challenge started Saturday and Friday. I went out. It was also, like, celebratory after ebook launch because my mom lives in Virginia Beach, and Matt and I's, I don't want to say ours because it's not your assistant, but Matt and I's full-time assistant, Katie, lives and works in Virginia Beach as well. And so Courtney, who did most of the ebook and is a friend and a paleo team member, our sons are kind of besties. So Courtney and I went down to Virginia Beach and we went out to dinner with Katie and my mom. And then we went clubbing afterwards. I don't even know that that's the right word. I don't really want to talk about what we did, but so we went to a very fun bar that you needed to be lubricated to go to. I was with my mother, like, it was, you know, whatever. But so then I proceeded to have two martinis at the bar. And when I woke up the next day, I mean, I did it with gin because I know that I can drink gin. But when I woke up the next day, I just was so exhausted and burned out from, like, not sleeping and traveling and doing all the things that we tell you not to do, that combined with the 2 a.m. night out drinking was pretty rough. And we had scheduled ourselves to do Strongman Open Gym at this place that we'd heard about a lot of, Brute Strength, in Virginia Beach. And Courtney actually knows the owners of Brute Strength. So she, like, got us the hookup, and we went early and kind of had Open Gym to ourselves. Not to ourselves, but it was really great opportunity to just go and try out equipment without, like, people being in your way and stuff. And so I got my mom to come because my mom doesn't usually work out, but she likes to when I'm around because she thinks it's fun to, like, you know, hang with the strong girls and lift heavy things and stuff. And so Courtney and I played with the heavy equipment, and we did things like, most people won't know what an H-stone is, a Husfeld stone. Google it if you're interested. It looks kind of like a coffin, but it's, like, mini and metal and really, really heavy and hard to hold and awkward. And we don't have one up here that Courtney and I can lift. The smallest one that we have is 175, and neither one of us can lift it off the ground. We can lift it if it's, like, elevated 6 inches, but we can't lift it off the ground because to just get under it is really hard. So they had one that was 140 instead of 175, and we were both able to lift it, which was really exciting to, like, oh, look, we can lift this off the ground. And then we lifted some heavy tires, and I didn't realize that I was setting a PR for myself, but I totally set a personal record. I thought that one of the tires at our gym was around 600 pounds, that I had lifted it a few times already, but turns out that the tire that I've been flipping at the gym is 500 pounds. So the one that was at Brute was 625, and it was a struggle. It was not an easy flip, and I only did it once. I did not pull off doing it again, but I totally flipped that 625 pound tire.
That's awesome.
And then they also had this thing, like, this just ginormous heavy, I call it the duck walk. I don't know what it's really called, but because it's just, like, this giant bell that, weighed, I think they said 115 or 120, I think it was 120 pounds. And you just, like, lift it up by its handle, and you have to kind of walk with it in between your legs, because you don't want to lift it with your arms because it's really heavy. It just kind of dangles between your legs, and you have to walk like a duck to, like, make room for it in between your legs. So I call it the duck walk. And then you walk with it for 40 feet, and then you, like, lift it up the stairs, like, one step at a time, and time yourself doing it. And that was a lot of fun. We don't have anything like that up here. And yeah, so I guess the moral of the story is I'm back into strongman training. It was a lot of fun. I did it. And even though I didn't work out a lot the month of December because I got sick and needed to care of myself and not work out, I'm back in the game, and I appear to have set a personal record for myself even though I took the month off. So that's awesome. And I have officially registered myself for the strongman competition at the gym where I work out is going to host a sanctioned competition for women only in March. And that'll be the first ever competitive athletic thing that I ever do in my entire life. And I'm going to say ever, just to make it very clear that I was never in sports in high school. I never even played a soccer game. Like, I did swimming, non-competitive. I did, like, as a kid, you know. But in high school, in middle school, I never was on any sports. I never did anything. I've made it very clear to people. I was obese my entire life. I was not athletic at all. And so this is the first thing that I've ever done in an athletic capacity, CrossFit and strongman. And now I'm going to compete in March. And that's kind of crazy. So I'll probably talk, like, every week about what the new thing that I did is and what I'm trying to do. This week, my big like thing was flipping that tire. And then I also did a farmer's carry, which was, did I talk about that last week? No, I don't think I hit that PR last week. It was 190 pounds in each hand. And I just like, you stand up with it. And I walked for 30 feet before I had to drop it, which is 380 pounds total. And, that's like supposedly really good. So
it boggles my mind. Like, I think I'm doing awesome when I have a 45 pound kid in each arm. I'm like, look at me. And I'm like, that's like a quarter of what you lifted. So, wow.
Well, I'm not putting those on my hips, but yeah.
Like, even more, I'm relying on my hips to hold my kids. So, yeah, that's like super intense. That's awesome.
Super exciting. So now I'm in this whole life challenge. I'll probably give everybody an update every week on kind of if I did it or not. I think the biggest things for me, because we talk a lot about paleo perfectionism, which we're going to talk about later in the show. So I thought it was a good time to bring it up, is that this challenge is not about being perfect. And they, you know, whereas kind of a whole 30 or even a 21 day sugar detox has a set of rules. And then if you break a rule, then it's kind of like, well, do I start over? And each one of those plans has like a different philosophy on what that means and how to handle it. But this challenge in particular is pretty much about choices. Like, okay, well, if you choose to have a glass of wine, or if you choose to eat grains, or if you choose to eat dairy, or if you choose to, you know, do whatever, then you know that you're choosing that against your points. And I think it's an interesting way to make people aware that like they're also choosing to not make the healthiest choice possible. And I think for those of us that have been doing paleo for a long time, we know where those trade-offs are. We know if we've gotten good sleep or if we've eaten the super healing foods beforehand, that sometimes we can make trade-offs on eating things like you ate popcorn or I eat sushi or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We can make those trade-offs. But this challenge, I think, will help a lot of people who aren't already at that kind of advanced level of paleo figure some of that out, because it's literally like a point system. Like, okay, well, if you choose to eat something bad, then you better make sure that you drank your water that day, you ate that day, you slept that day, you took your supplements, like, you know, because then it counterbalances losing a point or two for nutrition. So I think I'm looking forward to it. And I'm hoping that it reminds me that I don't need heavy cream in my coffee every morning, because I'm going to lose a point if I put it in. Yeah. And that I don't need sushi once or twice a week, because I'm going to lose a point if I eat it. And some of the concessions that I make, maybe I'll make them less often and see if it changes anything for me in terms of, you know, how I feel or how I look. And then I can make an informed choice about whether or not I want to go back to those habits in 8 weeks. So, yeah, but that's, you know, just not about being perfect. It's interesting how you're a whole lot more successful and setting yourself up for success, which feeds back into the news article we were talking about in the beginning, if you don't like hold yourself to that perfect standard. Did you see the Fox and Friends news article with Chris Kresser? It wasn't a news article. It was an interview today.
Yeah, I did. I watched the clip. Like, I watched the whole thing. I was like, I'm going to watch that again. I watched the whole thing over again.
I felt like he totally nailed it. And it's one of the few times that I've seen a paleo person on, like, a major news channel in particular, that I felt really represented paleo in a way that seemed sane and in a way that I supported. I loved that he was like, it's okay to put some starch on your plate and have dark chocolate. Like, there are good things about those that can help you. And, you know, and he talked about kind of taking flack from the paleo perfectionists and saying he don't really care. It's like, heart to Chris Kresser. I thought that interview was great. And Monica can put, you know, either a link or embed it in the show notes for people who haven't checked it out yet. It's only like 3 minutes, but I thought it was a really good way to kind of, even if someone's saying to you like their definition of the Lauren Cordain paleo diet, like it would be a great 3 minute clip to send to that person to be like, here's why that's not how paleo is defined anymore, you know, and just kind of kick it off. So, and he talked about it not being perfectionist and how it's really a lot more sustainable lifelong, especially when you have a family, when you're able to kind of make those kinds of choices.
Well, and I think that what he sort of almost got to, which is my favorite way to introduce the paleo diet, was the nutrient density. Because he sort of mentioned that, you know, there's some good nutrition. I mean, I think he said something like there's really good nutrition in dairy if you tolerate it, which is like the shortest possible way that you can summarize the paleo movement's current views on dairy. What I really liked was that, you know, he was talking about, you know, really what is the paleo diet now compared to what it was 10 years ago, which is a much more inclusive diet that really focuses on nutrient density and removing foods that cause gut dysbiosis, gut irritation, and inflammation. And so we really should be calling it like the nutrient-dense anti-inflammatory diet. That, let me see now, NDAI, that doesn't really
roll off the tongue. See, I'm onto something with that, right?
Totally. I'm just trying to think if we can come up with some cool acronym for it.
Yeah, the problem is just that it's like, it is what it is at this point.
Yes, yeah. No, and the thing is rebranding is, it's almost like a, I don't know, I don't like the idea of rebranding because you find it difficult to describe. I think
momentum and Google search terms. And, you know, let's not forget that paleo was the number one searched diet in 2013. Like, clearly that word's working, whether or not people want to admit it or not.
So what I liked was that, you know, he was talking about these foods that have been embraced by the paleo community in the last, say, 5 years, as being, you know, foods that have a lot of nutritional value. And I just loved that sort of seed was planted for people because we do, I mean, especially you and I, because you and I are like big nutrient density geeks, and probably louder.
Speak for yourself there, mama.
You're not a nutrient density geek?
I'm never a geek.
You're a nutrient density hero.
I was informed while traveling over the last week and a half that I am the broth lady. What, did I mention this last week?
No, you're the broth lady?
That's what people call me now. Like, they literally call me that. When I was in California, I had several people
say, oh, no, does that make me the kidney lady?
Probably. They're like, we talk about you at my house all the time, but we call you the broth lady. And like several people have told me that. It's not just one person, because there's probably people listening to the podcast right now going, oh my God, I feel so bad I told her that. No, I am very proud to be the broth lady, let me tell you. Because for a while, I was probably like the treats lady, because that's what, you know, we run a paleo parents website and we make special foods for our kids or whatever. But I'm glad that people follow me enough, like know me personally and listen to the podcast and watch my Instagram to see that what actually is consumed by me is broth. And, yeah, so you're, I mean, no one told me that they call you the Canadian.
All right, guys, please comment on the show notes and let me know what I am called in your household.
Poor Danielle, everywhere we went, everybody told her, like, oh my gosh, I just love your real deal chocolate chip cookies. Like, they're the best chocolate chip cookies ever. Everywhere we went, everyone told her how much they love our cookies. And I'm gonna say, I've tried every single paleo chocolate chip recipe there is. I personally really like mine because in Eat Like a Dinosaur, because they have dates in them. But Danielle's mimics the Toll House kind of taste and texture the best out of any paleo cookie that I've had. And so I can imagine that people feel that way. And she told me, we were like having lunch one day, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm the cookie lady and you're the broth lady. You know, we've all got our things. There's got to be room for us all. So.
What were we talking about?
Nutrient density.
Nutrient density. Yeah. Oh, yes. That's what I was talking about. Is how I liked that Chris Kresser sort of, you know, he didn't really talk about it overtly because he had 3 minutes and it was very, you know, classic Fox and Friends interview style where he was asked fairly directed, pointed questions that he then had the opportunity to respond to. But I really liked that framework was sort of introduced for people because that's how I think of the paleo diet. I think of it as a nutrient dense diet that avoids foods that can potentially cause problems. But the number one thing I think of is that it's nutrient rich. And so I kind of liked that was sort of introduced because I think that's a dialogue that is a lot easier to have with the public, that we can start talking about, you know, foods that have a lot of vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and essential amino acids and essential fatty acids and, you know, other sort of beneficial compounds, and talk about nutrient density. Because I also think that's also a more accessible entry into paleo for people. If people start, you know, if a person just looks at the nutrition in meat and fish and vegetables and fruit compared to the nutrition in, say, grains and legumes, especially when you factor in digestibility and bioavailability, and they start just thinking, okay, I'm just going to eat a nutrient-dense diet, that may not make them paleo, but it's a very, very important step closer to a paleo diet. And you know, for most people, making that step just from a, you know, diet that really is calorie rich and nutrient poor to a diet that is nutrient rich is going to make a huge impact on their health, whether it, you know, is a diet that ends up following the paleo template or not. You know, just increasing nutrient density is one of the most important things we can be doing for overall human health right now is looking at, you know, nutrition and what food choices do we need to make to actually get the nutrients that our bodies need, because most people are deficient in a number of vitamins and minerals.
Agreed.
So that leaves precisely 24 minutes for some philosophy topics. Not that we haven't already been covering philosophy topics, except that I didn't say anything about me yet. I should probably say something about me, right?
Yeah, how's your weekend?
It was good. It was like birthday party weekend. So it was actually my daughter's 7th birthday yesterday. And her birthday party is going to be next weekend. We went to 3 other kids' birthday parties this weekend.
Jeez.
You know what? They were good parties, though. So I found them more relaxing than I typically find kids' birthday parties. I have to admit, I am not a huge fan of the kids' birthday party. But every once in a while, one's put together really well, and I just find myself really enjoying it. And that's what I found. I went to 2 parties, and my husband went to 2 parties. We all went to 1, and then we divided and conquered for the other 2. And so I really enjoyed it. And then I got to go to a yoga class this afternoon, which was like a text message from my assistant Tamara, who everyone's going to meet on the show pretty soon, was, hey, how do you feel about meeting me for a yoga class in an hour and a half? And I was like, hang on, let me text my husband and see what he thinks about feeding the kids supper without me. And he was very supportive because he, I think, could sense that my stress level was rising again as I'm pushing to finish the cookbook and starting to really want it to be done, but getting very frustrated that I'm not able to find more time to work on it. And so he was being very supportive. So I went to this class, and it was like over an hour and a half long. It was a class for 6 people. 3 of them had never taken a yoga class before. So it was a very intro beginner's class, but because I have been practicing yoga for many years, I was able to still, you know, extend it for myself. But because I haven't actually been to a yoga class in a couple of months, it was a really nice, gentle, stretchy class. Ended up getting my heart rate going, but it was just very, like, overall relaxing. And then I came home, put the kids to bed with my husband, had supper, and had a mineral salts bath. So I'm feeling very relaxed right now. It's very
I can't take those baths and then not go to sleep. I hope you're not all messed up, because when I do that and then I try to go to sleep later, it's like it's ruined my sleep wave.
I hope so too. I basically made the decision that I really wanted one tonight, and it would be too late if I had one after we recorded. So we'll see. Right now I still feel relaxed. Just don't get me angry about something. We'll be good. Because you often get me angry about something.
It's pretty much the topic to, like, get on our soapboxes. I don't think it'll take us that long to cover it, because I think everybody knows what our stance is, and we kind of covered it last week.
We did kind of cover it, yeah, two weeks ago?
Yeah, whatever that.
The last philosophy show. And then I also, I went to a pure strength class on Thursday. So we waited, my husband and I waited a full
week. No, I support that.
I saw your very, very nice message on Instagram. So thank you. So we waited a full week because I was sore for 5 days after the first class. And my husband, he was by day five, I think he was starting to feel okay, but just still tired. Like just our muscles really just still felt weak. Like we would run out of energy. Not mental energy, but physical energy really quickly. Went back and Darcy, hi Darcy, if you listen to the podcast, did, I believe, at least a 3 times harder class. And I actually felt a lot stronger. Like I felt like it just, you know, from the first class to the second class, I felt like a lot of the exercises, especially with the bands, were much more accessible for me. But holy smokes, was I wiped out afterwards. And I was terrified that I would be really, really sore again. So I was really, really happy that it was like 2 days of intense muscle soreness, but like normal intense. I could actually straighten my arms this week, which was a huge improvement over the week before. So yeah, I feel really good about it. We're going to go again Tuesday and Thursday this week and see how that works. And I really like the mineral salts baths afterwards. Like that's adding so much quality of life to my life right now, not just because it's helping with the muscle soreness, but because it's a mineral salts bath with, right now I'm reading Death by Food Pyramid by Denise Minger. I'm really excited. She's going to be on the show next week, right?
Yes.
She's coming on soon. I am in love with her book. Just, I'm going to say this now before she's here to hear it. It's one of the best books I've ever, like nonfiction books I've ever read. I am enjoying it so much. So it's been my like evening ritual to have a mineral salts bath with a book. And so, as much as the deadline of getting the cookbook done is sort of wearing on me, right now I feel pretty good. I did want to tell people about a Facebook group that I've started with my two assistants, Tamara and Christina. It's called the Paleo Approach Community. And this basically came out of demand. I had asked by literally hundreds of people if I could start some kind of message board or group or forum or someplace where people who are doing the autoimmune protocol could connect. And I really didn't have the time or the resources to put together, you know, something like a paid subscription forum or something like that, that would be a much more sophisticated service for people. And also then less accessible than something free, but it would cost so much money to put together. So we decided to just start a Facebook group. It's searchable, but you do have to ask to join. We're basically approving everybody who's not an obvious spammer. And the only reason why we have that step is to be able to control spammers. And the group already has over 2,000 members, and this really dynamic conversations. I'm not there's no moderators other than you report if you see something that's bullying or inappropriate or spamming. So it's really just a place for people to connect with each other and help each other out. But I've snuck little peeks every once in a while, and it's just like overnight become this really dynamic community where people are connecting and helping each other through, you know, problems and helping people understand various aspects of the autoimmune protocol. So if anybody, any of our listeners is following the autoimmune protocol and is just interested in having a place where you can sort of talk about that, the Facebook group is called the Paleo Approach Community. And you can just type that into the Facebook search and it'll pop up. So that is my cool new thing for the week.
I joined.
Did you really? That's awesome.
I don't have time to engage in a discussion, but I did join.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know that. Do you want to talk about being perfect?
Me? Perfect? What?
Yeah, okay, so there's the entirety of that discussion, which is that nobody's perfect. I did this post on Facebook today where I posted a picture of our pantry. I don't know if you saw the...
I didn't. So I will go look at it right now.
So it's just basically... first of all, it's not a real pantry, which I say in the post. That is not what a pantry always looks like. I'm not going to pretend to be that organized.
Is it the picture that's in the ebook?
Yeah, it's like a wider shot of it. And then it doesn't talk about like all the specific ingredients. Like basically we just did a post that's similar to what's in the ebook because we knew that it would be helpful for people. And we done a pantry post in 2011 on the blog that we found when we were prepping the book. And so we were like, this clearly needs to be updated.
I have seen your pantry.
Yes.
And I do not recall it looking anything like this.
Like I said, that is not like the real
pantry. Where'd you get all those beautiful glass jars from?
Those are just mason jars. We have those.
Chronically filled with various nuts and dried fruit.
Now we do. They were in the prop room, and then there were like bags of nuts and seeds everywhere. But we've been doing that for several months now. I saw it on Pinterest that it like keeps out the moths, and I was like, genius, because we have a moth problem because we also have a 3-year-old snack problem. And Wesley kept going into the pantry and like sneaking snacks and leaving them open, and we wouldn't realize that they were open. So anyway, we moved to this mason jar situation, and what's really great about it too, on the Pinterest thing, is you can stick it in the freezer because the nut oils can go bad, especially like in the heat. So I'm not really worried about it now in the wintertime, but like in the summer, I'll probably move all those nuts into like either the fridge or the freezer so that they can stay fresh and I don't have to worry about the oils, you know, going bad or whatever.
Oils are actually very, very stable in the whole food.
Cool.
So, I mean, heat, yes, and light. I mean, I wouldn't keep them in the hottest windowsill of the house. But it's very, very stable if it's not an isolated oil.
So, we did put them in those things, in the jars.
And they're pretty.
It's been really convenient for the boys because they pack their lunches in the morning and they'll pull down like the 3 or 4 jars of whatever trail mix they want and take like a handful of each and then put it in their like reusable snack bag and be off. And it's been really great. Whereas before they kept eating the same nuts over and over again because they just grab the same bag off of the top of this giant box that we had in the bottom of the pantry.
That is very cool.
Anyway, so we posted this pantry photo, and of course we get like an immediate judgmental paleo policeman telling me that there's too many processed foods in my pantry. And, you know, it's this sort of thing that we've talked about before that really throws people off of paleo. And I think like that's my biggest gripe is, okay, first of all, that person isn't perfect. Like whatever it is that they think that they're judging me on, I know because I've been doing this long enough that that person is being hypocritical. Like, no matter what it is that they think that they see in my pantry, there is something in their own pantry or their own refrigerator that is not a perfect paleo food. And we've talked before, too, that there are some people that need to stick to that for health reasons. And we wholeheartedly understand, and that's a different kind of topic than we're talking about, which is that, you know, for most people living a paleo life, 100% perfection 100% of the time just isn't feasible or realistic. And every single paleo guru that I've ever talked to or listened to has either blogged, podcasted, or talked about it in an open forum, like Mark's 80-20 rule and Balance Bites writing the Not a Paleo Perfectionist post, and Rob Wolf talking about how he eats corn chips and things like when he wants to because he knows what the repercussion is, and it's not, you know, it doesn't violate his gut the way gluten does. And we all do that. And that is really because it's a lifestyle for us. It's 100% of the rest of our lives. And I'm not going to go the rest of my life, you know, making homemade everything while I have a full-time job, I run a business, and from my house, my husband has to take care of 4 boys and a home. My sister's living with us, and like, it is convenient for all of us to have foods that are prepared by someone else. And I think the important thing about like whether or not those foods are defined as processed is really up to the individual and how they define them. But to me, processed foods mean something that I couldn't replicate if I tried. And every single food in my pantry is not made with chemicals, or it's something I could replicate if I tried, except for the things that are treats. And, you know, like we do have a box of gluten-free Oreos in our pantry. And like, that's because sometimes the kids, it gets sprung on us that there's a birthday party or something. And like, I don't know. I don't even know how they made their way into the house, and they've been here for 6 months and they're probably stale and they need to go. But at some point someone brought in Trader Joe's gluten-free Oreos, and it's not the end of the world. And I think it's really important for people to like, context matters and individual needs matter. And this is a household with 4 boys between the ages of 8 and 3. And if someone thinks that, you know, we need to be paleo perfectionists and make every single thing that goes into their body and then it needs to be, you know, perfect paleo, then they obviously don't have an understanding of what it means to live that life. And it's that way for everybody's unique situations. Like for you and I on the autoimmune protocol, like we talk about where we know where our gray areas are. And I know I can't touch a tomato with a 10-foot pole, but that doesn't keep me from eating sushi sometimes. Like we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's just because, you know, it would be a very sad life, both from the perspective of constantly feeling disappointed about, you know, your own decision to deny yourself things, which can have a really big impact on stress and mental health, as well as from like a societal standpoint and not being able to integrate at all if you decided you were going to be 100% paleo perfectionist, because that pretty much means that you can't eat out at restaurants at all because all restaurants use seed oils. I get news for everybody. Like I've never found a single restaurant that is 100% paleo. There are a couple of food carts, and I know people have Kickstarters to start paleo restaurants, but you know, for everybody going everywhere, like even if you're making a smart choice and you're bringing your own dressing and you're ordering a salad without anything on it except fruits and vegetables, you don't know about cross-contamination. You don't know about whether or not it was organic or locally raised and pastured, and all these kinds of labels that people put on being perfect paleo just don't, it doesn't exist. And you know, to pretend to live in a world where you believe that you make better choices than someone else, or the feeling and the impression that a lot of us get is that those people think that they're better than someone else because they're making a different decision, it's not the truth. Like it's, we all just need to be really supportive of every decision that someone makes that leads to better health. And I think that's really what it's all about, is that, you know, this has been a journey for me. I know it's been a journey for Sarah.
Yeah.
we've come leaps and bounds since we started. I mean, I remember defining paleo and having tortilla wraps and thinking that those were okay, even though they had wheat in them, because they were like marked low carb. And that, granted, that was only for a couple of weeks, but like, that didn't make me a bad person. That didn't mean that I wasn't trying. That didn't mean that I was actively, you know, making bad decisions and being a bad person. I was making the best choices that I knew how at the time. And here we are, 3.5, almost 4 years later, and clearly I have a better understanding of what that means, and I'm able to make smart choices that work for me. That also doesn't mean that I expect everybody else who's paleo to have soup for breakfast or to eat organ meats. Like, I think that it's really great, and if you can try, you know, more power to you, and I think you're going to feel good. But for people having, you know, eggs for breakfast, or even, you know, nut-based cereals for breakfast because that's the choice that they can, or you're having paleo muffins with a hard-boiled egg, great job, period. End of story. You have made a much better decision for your health and your family than you were before you started paleo. And eventually, you're going to realize that the muffins aren't doing the best thing for your health. And hopefully, you make a decision to improve upon that and move to eggs. And then maybe once you've been eating eggs for a while, you say, hey, I could add sauerkraut, or I could add a cup of bone broth, or whatever it is. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous for people to judge other people. Like, worry about your own plate. I tell this to my kids all the time. Like, they'll point to someone else and they'll be like, he's doing blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you need to worry about yourself. Like, your own body is what you are responsible for. So it's the same mentality with a 5-year-old as it is with a 50-year-old, you know, like, worry about yourself, focus on what you need to improve on, focus on how you can improve. If you don't like my pantry, stock yours with the best things that you know how to stock it with. But it's just rude to go around judging other people. And it's also really off-putting, and it doesn't do anything positive for the community. And I think that's the biggest thing that really, you know, makes most of us upset, is that when people see that behavior, it turns them off and makes them say, this is too hard and too strict for me, and there's no way I can possibly do it. And they just kind of throw up their hands and walk away, rather than making the better choice, which is, you know, gluten-free to start, or whatever it is. Like, I just think it's something I feel really passionately about, and I, you know, it bothers me. And we talked about it through so many shows. I guess I can get off my soapbox at this point.
Well, you know, we did talk, you know, sort of about this idea on our last philosophy show, but where we didn't take that conversation, which I think would be really interesting for us to do now, is where, you know, this idea of paleo perfectionism actually qualifies as an eating disorder, which would be orthorexia. Orthorexia is an eating disorder that is characterized by an obsession with eating foods that are, or only eating foods that are perceived to be healthy, and 100% avoidance of foods that are perceived to be unhealthy. And it doesn't just apply to a paleo diet. It doesn't mean that, you know, foods perceived to be doesn't mean that the food is or isn't. It's the mindset that's associated with it. And so that's where that particular definition comes from. And I think that is one of the things that we see often within the paleo community is, and especially when we're being, or we're interacting with people who are, you know, this sort of, paleo perfectionist or almost like militant paleo sort of fringe within the paleo movement. And I'm not to say that everybody who has a really strong opinion about what, you know, whether or not green beans are paleo or potatoes or rice. I mean, that could be just like a crazy can of worms right there. I'm not to say that anybody who has strong opinions for or against that qualifies as orthorexic, but it is definitely something I think for people to be aware of, and especially evaluate in themselves, especially if they find themselves being the kind of person who formulates opinions about what other people are eating very easily. So in the paleo approach, I actually talk about it a little bit, because in the context of a restricted diet for treating disease, it's very, very easy to develop a sense of paranoia about eating a food that's going to make your disease worse, and a sort of overly fixating on diet to make, you know, to make your disease better. And there's a really fine line between being proactive and the psychological stress associated with worrying about it so much actually being contradictive for health, like for actually is going to make things more challenging for you because it's going to cause stress. And that's that same line is the line between being proactive and making healthy choices for yourself and orthorexia. And it's something that I think people really need to be aware of is that, you know, this is an eating disorder, and it is also very commonly found in people, and you've probably seen these statistics of people changing eating disorders. So, for example, I had binge eating disorder, or have. I mean, I don't know that you can ever actually be fully cured from an eating disorder. But it's very, very common for people, say, who were obese to trade obesity for anorexia or for bulimia, or binge eating disorder and bulimia. And you get this
or overworking blurry line. Like it can often bleed into like an exercise disorder.
Exercise addiction. So you end up changing the behavior and potentially making yourself, you know, depending on what you're changing, making yourself physically healthier, but the mental health aspect or the lack of mental health aspect is still there. And so orthorexia is one of those disorders that you can sort of trade your old eating disorder for orthorexia. And even though you're eating really healthy food, the mentality associated with it is dysfunctional. And so that's someplace where, you know, I think the lines between, you know, the paleo police and orthorexia are fairly blurry. And I wouldn't want to, you know, judge anybody as being orthorexic without them, you know, going through an actual evaluation, which you can have done. And I don't mean to imply that everybody who says something that I don't like is, but it is definitely, you know, there, it is something that is seen, really in all major diets, that there is, a group of people who are following that diet because they believe it to be the healthiest and they take it to this very extreme level. And so that I think is a, really important thing, I think, for people to be aware of in terms of their perception about food and food choices. And also, when they are finding themselves being judgmental of what other people are doing.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I believe that, and I think we talked about this with Paleo for Women with Stephanie Ruper and Emotional and Disordered Eating with George, which Monica can link to. I think those are really good shows for people to listen to where I kind of touch on this subject. But I know I personally transferred a lot of my disordered eating, which was binge eating and previously bulimia. And I transferred that to orthorexia when I was first paleo. And, you know, I've talked about the fact that I've put on 15 pounds since I was at my lowest weight when I was paleo. A lot of that came when Wesley weaned. And then I just deprioritized losing weight. Like, I had this mental shift that was really important for me when I had a health flare. And I realized, like, no matter how clean I'm eating, if I don't take care of myself from an emotional and physical standpoint, not just what I'm putting in my mouth, then I'm still going to have health problems. And it has been a huge focus for us on the show because both Sarah and I feel really passionately about the paleo lifestyle as a mechanism to be healthy. And a lot of those things have to do with mental health and taking care of yourself physically in ways that aren't related to food. And, you know, when you transfer, you know, a disordered mindset about food, right? Like whether or not you think of yourself as having a eating disorder, really what that means is you think of food in a way that means something other than you know, for fuel and for entertainment and for social function, and understanding that it really is just kind of fueling your body and it's not this moral judgment. And I, that's the term that Stephanie used that I felt was really powerful. Like, you know, it's important to understand that even people who are celiacs, who eat gluten, right, like it can destroy them and do things like cause cancer, that it doesn't make them a bad person. It might not be the best choice, but, you know, those things have a really powerful hold on people in just a just as disordered way as, let's say, orthorexia does. And it can often be really difficult for people with diabetes to give up sweets. You know, that's why we have a country that's being taken over with type 2 diabetes. It's not because people want to be sick and have a medical condition that can severely affect them. It's because food, especially, you know, manufactured food products, can have a really powerful hold over people. And, you know, the idea that you are, you know, making judgments or being a better person or, you know, telling yourself that as long as you stay perfectly clean on your food, that you're never going to have any health problems, it's just not the truth. You know, you can be a squeaky clean paleo as, you know, as defined by the, you know, whatever book it is that you believe and support in, or whatever guru that you listen to, you can follow that to a T. You can also wake up tomorrow with a health condition that has nothing to do with food, or that could have perhaps been prevented by less stress, like Sarah indicated, from, you know, stressing yourself out about being a perfectionist. And I just think, you know, what you talked about, and also the idea of understanding that this is not just something that you put in your mouth, that food is an emotional experience just as it is physical. And people who have disordered eating, the reason that you never, quote unquote, are cured from an eating disorder is because you never get to avoid food. Like, it's one of the hardest things to, you know, put yourself.
You can't go cold turkey.
Right. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to give up food for the rest of my life. Like, you have to learn how to make better choices. And every single time you put something in your mouth, you are thinking about, you know, whether or not that's the right choice and what impact it has. And I just think there's so many complicated things going on in every single person's individual life that the judgment of what comes across as paleo police and paleo perfectionists, there's just no room for that, especially when you have people who are trying to do the best that they can. And, you know, encouraging someone to say, hey, if you need better options for breakfast or lunch instead of that gluten-free bread you've been using for a few months, like, let me know. I have some really great tips and tricks that worked for my family. That's completely different than saying, you know, some judgy McJudgerton awful thing that makes someone feel bad about themselves, because that's not going to help them make a better choice. Most cases, that's just going to make them eat more bread because they're going to be sad. So, like, it's just it's a whole emotional, like, and maybe Sarah and I come from this perspective because we had disordered eating and we are emotional eaters, and we've talked about that a million times. Like, that's our background. We didn't get to be big ladies because we didn't like food. But it's also kind of a unique perspective that I don't think a lot of people who, you know, are paleo experts that have really never truly struggled with that aspect of it can, you know, understand from experience. So I just think it's really important for everybody to understand the impact that words can have. Like, again, the 5-year-old thing, like, let's use our words, but use them nicely. Let's think about how they make people feel.
I agree. and have nothing to add.
Yowza. Well, that is an hour show.
That's kind of what I was thinking when I said I had nothing to add. I kind of thought, no, that was, I think, a good stopping point. I think, you know, clearly the reason why we've put together this philosophy show series, besides the fact that it's really, really awesome for us to put together on short notice when we have a guest reschedule, is because these are topics that really need to be discussed within the community, and there's a lot of them. And they're also, you know, I think what we're trying to do is address paleo community cohesion, but also you know, myths that are really sort of commonly spread about a paleo diet and sort of break some of those myths while we're talking about, you know, healthy living altogether. I mean, not just diet, but lifestyle and attitude, you know, mental health in addition to everything else.
Yes. So,
make that's a wrap.
Choices, everyone. Yeah. Be nice. Enjoy your week. And we have a couple of great guests lined up for the next couple of weeks. Sarah, you gave a teaser just to give everyone a heads up. Denise Winger is scheduled to be on the show next week, and we're really hopeful to have her on. She was sick when we were scheduled to have her on before, and we were all kind of disappointed, but it sounds like it worked out for the best because Sarah's actually reading the whole book word for word.
Word for word. And I mean, like, slowly. I'm like, just
well, I know how long it took her to write that book, and I talked about it with her on the Low Carb Cruise like 2 or 2.5 years ago. So, like, I know that it should and is epic because she's just brilliant. And I, you know, I wish that I had time to read it word for word, but I haven't, and I probably won't. But so Denise will be on, and then additional upcoming guests include Chris Kresser, which we discussed his interview earlier, and his personal paleo code is just a really great new resource that's come out. And I encourage everyone to check that out. And then we also are going to have a unique show with our assistants because we thought, you know, a lot of people might think, well, you guys are just bloggers. Like, how do you have assistants? How does that work? Who are they? How much of their content is your content? And what do they really do for you? And also, what are Sarah and I really like in real life?
I have already told Tamar that if she says anything that I'm not happy with, that Matt will edit it out. So it's okay, Tamar. Don't worry. You say whatever you want, and then I'll have Matt edit it so that it sounds okay.
I didn't say that. I told Katie, I was like, it's all right if you want to talk badly about me. Tell people the truth. But she laughed and such. So we'll have them, our assistants, and our team crew will be on. And probably what I think would be really cool is if we put out like a Facebook call for people, like, do you have questions for our assistants? Because it would be really interesting to see what people would have questions for them, you know, like from their perspective. So keep an eye out for that. And they'll just be on the show
get my assistant to set that up on Facebook.
Exactly. Monica, can you tell Katie to do that on Facebook? Okay, thanks. Yeah, so that'll be fun. We've got a fun month scheduled, and if we have another Paleo Philosophy show, that's because someone pulled out, and that's what we do last minute.
So rescheduled, yeah.
We're running out of Paleo Philosophy topics, though. I think the only ones left are ketosis.
Oh, that's yeah. Easy.
I don't know that we're going to tackle that anytime in the near future. So, all right. Hopefully that gives people some things to look forward to, and we hope that you enjoy the show. Another thing that would be really great is if you're finding this show through Radio.io, letting us know that that's something that you're listening to or through or found us from. We would be really grateful to get that feedback. And don't forget to leave a review in iTunes if you haven't yet done so. Subscribe to our newsletters. Both Sarah and I have exclusive content that we share each week that's kind of a personal update from us, no strings attached. And we deliver that, both of us, about once a week. So both of those can be done through our website, and Monica will put a link in the show notes for you. Anything else I didn't cover, Sarah?
Probably, but nothing that's coming to mind at the moment.
Awesome. Cool. Well, have a good one, everyone.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
I just don't pay attention to new stuff that's stupid.